I think honestly it is, to be truthful about it. I always think at the beginning of Advent about C.S. Lewis's book, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, and the wicked, or the White Witch of the North, she has the whole land covered with snow and frost and cold. It's always winter. And it's never summer, there's never spring, there's no life, the flowers don't come. And I feel that's exactly a reflection of where we are now for many at Advent, that it's all Christmas and no Advent. You know, it's all Christmas is all that matters, and Advent has no place and no part in it at all. And I think that's a pity, because I think Advent is a season in its own right. It's a time of standing back, a time of preparing, and a time to look at life. You know, the best gift I think that you can give yourself, the best gift of Christmas is the one you give yourself. And we give others gifts, and I have no problem with that, and that's a lovely thing to do, but we sometimes neglect ourselves. And I think Advent is an invitation to just stop. Somebody's called it the rushitis, or the hassle and then the bustle of the whole preparation for Christmas. But really, I think if we just could stand back a little bit, the most precious thing we have is our own life, our own purpose in life, our own meaning and life. I think Advent is an invitation to that. You know?
But as you say, in fact, if anything, the time coming up to Christmas is the time that people are busiest of all.
That's the whole trouble, isn't it? You know, and that's why I think it's. It's very important. Advent has become kind of poignant for me this year, because just this day week my own brother died, and we had the funeral a couple of days ago, and in a strange way it made me think not so much about death but about life. And I find that I associate life with time, and we take time so much for granted. I remember once when I was in the parish a good few years ago, I celebrated a funeral, a baptism in the morning, a wedding and a funeral in the one day. And it made me very conscious of the cycle of time, the cycle of life, life at its beginning, life at its fullness in the marriage, which was beautiful, and then life taken away. We just take it for granted. Life comes, we have it, and it's given to us, a gift, and we pass it back to the one who gave it to us.
And in terms of your own reflection and your own use of time, you know, were you thinking maybe of things maybe that your brother would like to have finished, or maybe things that you yourself would like to finish? Do you know, does it bring that type of thing home to you?
Yes, it does. It brought home to me most of all just that life was a gift, and that we really have, I suppose, no control over it, and that we must make the best of it as it comes, and that there's a cycle in life, a cycle in nature. We're now, a day like today, we have rain and wind and cold, and it's just very much winter, but we've had a good summer and a good spring, and please God, we'll have winter will pass and we'll move into the better weather. But that's the cycle of life, and the church is that same cycle. And I always feel like saying Advent to wish people a Happy New Year, because I think it's a time of beginning. It's a time and I always find that, you know, there's so much kind of criticism that the church, that the commercial world has hijacked Advent or Christmas. But in actual fact, we've done the same in a way, because we've taken over an experience or a reality that is older than time itself. It's twice as old as time. It's as old as life. And that's the gift of life. And that's what we're celebrating in Advent. It's as old as the pyramids of Egypt, the burial tombs of Newgrange. It's life. And Advent is about life, and it's about fitting into the cycle of life. And then I see God kind of as a God who is coming. God is always coming. He's coming. He came at Christmas, obviously. He came because he said he would come, and he promised to come. But I think he's coming, and we don't expect him, and we don't know when he's coming, and he comes at the oddest times. I think Patrick Kavanagh puts it very beautifully. He says, God comes in a January flower. And I think that's a lovely way of putting it. God comes in the simplest things, the smile of a child, the friendship of someone that you love. And in a strange way, from my own experience in the last week, God comes in death and in passing and in letting go of the things that are precious to you. But God is everywhere. God is, he's in the dole queues, and he's in the hospital, and he's in the, as you know yourself, he's in the maternity ward. But he's also down in the prisons, and he's in the streets, and he's in the shops, and he's in the supermarkets. And you can find God as much in the O'Connor Street as you can find him in the Aviva Stadium. You know, he's there. But we don't expect him. We expect something else and something holy. And I think if Christmas is anything, it's not a holy season in that sense. It was a very messy season, really. I mean, having your child in a stable, and certainly that's not the way we would plan it, you know. Not even having a place to rest or to be sheltered. Announcing the news to shepherds out in the field, who are a group outside of society, and they were outcasts. They were sort of on the side, on the margins, and yet God broke into that world to the angels, to the singing, to the glorification, if you like, the shepherds praising God. And people began to ask questions, what is this strange event and what is it all about? You know?
It does, it brings us. So I suppose what you're saying maybe is that Advent is a time to really take stock of how the greatest gifts are there all around us, and that maybe we could appreciate them, or that we need to appreciate them.
I think you put your finger on it there, Miriam. I think that's exactly what it is. It's a time to stand back. Stand back within yourself especially, and just to stop. With the speed that we're travelling at, and the rush and the pressure. What we have here this year, one of the days we're doing is, we've called it a day of silence and peace. And it's a quiet day. There's a day of silence and peace. We're not giving a lot of talks, a lot of lectures. Maybe a little bit of music, ideas, some poems, poetry, things to reflect on, and just giving people quiet time. And we've had this in the last retreat house I've been in for the last couple of years, and people said it wouldn't work, people wouldn't come a few days before Christmas, but in actual fact, it was always full. People were delighted. They had enough talking and enough shopping, and maybe they had no money left at that stage as well, but they were just glad of the peace, and there was no pressure on them. They could just listen to the talks, they could walk around, they could sit in the chapel. We had little arbors and little places where there was maybe a picture of the nativity, or a crib, or even a Jesse tree or whatever, some little thing that helped them to reflect, and gave them a poem, gave them a prayer, gave them a little picture or an icon. And most of them went away very, very happy, because they somehow they gave the best gift of all, the gift of themselves. They gave themselves a bit of time. And you know, if we don't find something within ourselves, we don't find it at all. There's no use looking for God if you don't begin to find it within yourself. That's what I see Advent as, an invitation to somehow to see the beauty within ourselves, the potential within ourselves, and the gifts that we give to others. I mean, this is a time of giving, but I was amazed. I remember last year reading 5 million euros, I think it was, of wasted gifts. Now, I don't know how they worked it out, but I mean, I take it as a fact. People got just things they didn't want, and they passed them on. I mean, I know myself, one year I got 5 pullovers, and you can't wear 5 pullovers. But what matters most is if you can give people time, give people just a kindness, a smile, call to see them. I heard a lovely story on the radio last year about a woman who lived by herself, and her daughter, who very seldom came to see her, but sent her a gift every Christmas. And it was sent by courier and beautifully packed. And the man that brought it actually came into the house and sat down with her and had a cup of tea. And she didn't even open the gift. She said, "I won't bother opening it." She said, "You're my Christmas gift." the daughter just sent the gift, and it was another thing to do for Christmas. But he sat down, he had a cup of tea with her and a biscuit and a piece of cake. And she said that was her Christmas because he gave her time. He listened to her. She had a little cry, I'm sure. And she brought back memories. But he gave her something very precious, very special.